The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
It seems like just yesterday. Girl, it's driving me insane. And I know that I'm just Joba Tans. And she is Mama Ru. But we're 2 weeks away from Drag Race UK. It's a never-ending show. Can we go back to when Drag Race was so strong? Can you tell me how a perfect show goes wrong? Can somebody tell RuPaul to slow things down? We don't want to be mean. Oh God, another season. We're now up to 13. I'll never watch her again until she can promise me she'll stop with all the fracking.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for Season 13, Episode 1, titled The Pork Chop. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by our very own Pork Chop. Please, from the podcast, Pod is my co-pilot. I can't talk. A Happy New Year to Taylor the Latte Boy. Hello, Taylor the Latte Boy.
I'm back.
You're back again.
Back again.
Welcome back, Taylor.
Yeah. New season, new girls, new twists, new turns.
Yeah.
By the way. New emotional manipulations.
I know. Oh, I know. Believe it or not, for not much really happening this episode, I have a lot to say about it. I hope you
do
too.
It was a weird, I remember thinking through all of this, what am I going to talk? Like, I have very few notes. I just kind of wrote down who I thought won the lip sync. Sometimes that matches up and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I am excited after watching the first episode. I am excited for the season.
Well, we're going to get into this, but by the way, for about 20 minutes before this show started, Taylor Latte Boy and I had a very interesting conversation, a conversation we call Just Between Us Girls. And the reason it is Just Between Us Girls is it's only for our Patreon supporters over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. If you want to hear those conversations, other extra Drag Race content. Oh, by the way, I mean, you know what? Let's talk about this right now. We're going to do the first of the year Patreon plug. I've been on vacation for 2 months almost, but I had 2 months of hiatus shows. Have you listened to any of these hiatus shows, Taylor?
I will.
Oh, you haven't even gotten there yet?
I'm really far behind. So, yeah.
I'm going to do for the future, people coming on and talking about them, because we had, like, let me tell you what we had. We had the best of catching up. You know, listener Drew Brooks put together, and also with some help from Sophie, you know, a listener named Sophie. The best moments of catching up from this, we only got to the first half.
Yeah.
You know, the best moments of catching up. The people have loved that. We have a new co-host over at Afterthought Media named Adam Salandra. And, he was joined. We did a second season of Shady Pines. People have been hearing Shady Pines on the feed from season one. no matter what your thoughts are on that, season two is a completely different beast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Adam is a fantastic new addition to the Afterthought Media family. And so people have been really liking that. We did you haven't listened to All Stars 2 yet, have we? We revisited All Stars 2, but not a recap. I know you were worried about this, Taylor. It is more like we don't care if there's spoilers. We talk about the episode in context of the history of the show. It's more of a conversation. But it's an 8-part okay. series with Jay, Ellis, and I. And then we did a friend of the show where there's a lot of people we talk about in the shows, but they never heard. We talked to them. And then Lori and I launched a series called Hallmark Homos, okay, where all uh-huh. we did was rip on those Hallmark holiday movies. People love that too. All of that. So I've been gone. Oh God, you guys have so much fantastic content over at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. What are you doing? You're missing out. But let's jump right into it, Taylor. This week, 13 new queens enter the workroom and compete in 6 separate lip sync battles for their lives. The winners head to the winner's lounge and the losers are sent to the pork chop loading dock, where photos of all the first eliminated queens adorn the walls. Candy Muse, Lala Ree, Simone, Got Mick, Olivia Lux, and Tina Burner come out on top, while Joey J, Denali, Tamisha Iman, Utica Queen, Rosé, Kamora Hall, and Elliot with 2 T's are sent to the pork chop loading dock. As the winners celebrate, the losers are told that they must vote out one of themselves out of the competition. Taylor the Latte Boy, name 2 things you liked about the episode and 1 thing you did not.
I liked the twist. Mm-hmm. I liked particularly that it was something different, at least in the beginning of the episode. But by the end, it felt kind of like, all right, we've seen this already 4 times, sort of thing by the time of the last 2. Though there was the twist of 3 of them coming in versus 2 of them. So I was like, okay.
Do you know the reason behind that 3 at the end?
Because there was supposed to be a 14th girl that got eliminated before she even got on the show. They sent her home.
Yes. Yes. Do you know why?
Because she did something where she would send out dick pics of somebody that gave her her phone live on stage. She would airplay them or something.
Airdrop them.
Airdrop them.
So, and what's funny is on the Reddits, a lot of people were talking about how this is actually a common bit among the drag queens out there. So that might eliminate a lot of drag queens from the show.
And I think that given last year's Sherry Pie debacle, I think they were trying to stop something before it got out of hand. But I mean, drag queens aren't known for being chased and singing, you know, on eagle's wings when when they're performing. It's supposed to be kind of a little dirty and subversive and all of that sort of stuff. So I hope that in the future, that doesn't mean that the queens that we get are watered down.
Yeah.
Something else that I really liked about the episode is, and I talked about this briefly for the finale for season 12. Mm-hmm. I love that Michelle is embracing the gray a little bit, where she's doing a little bit more, where she's adding gray to her hairstyles and stuff like that. I get the reason why, but I also like that. I think that that's a stronger look for her.
Hold on. I'm going to stop you there for a second.
Okay.
Everyone needs to know. Everyone who's this Taylor the Latte Boy. You guys don't know this. During the hiatus, dyed her hair silver. And now anyone who does this now is a hero to Taylor. Anyone with a schlock of gray hair, you know, is now, what an amazing human being this Michelle Visage is to embrace silver
exactly
hair.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Meanwhile, Taylor's sitting there like Anderson Pooper right there with his hair.
No, so I like that. I like the silver hair. Something I did not like, we'll get to it when we talk. There is 1 or 2 queens that I really, a bad taste in my mouth almost immediately.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll hold on to that for later. But one queen in particular, every time she was, I made a face. Like every time she was on, so.
You raise an interesting point, by the way.
Okay.
In all the blowjobs you've ever given, has anybody ever had, like, cum that tasted badly?
The first time I got somebody blew their load in my mouth, I was, because I did not know what it tasted like. So it was very, like, I just remember it tasting like pennies.
pennies.
Like, just the pennies. Like, it was that weird, pennies like, metallic from heaven. Taste. Uh-huh. So, and I just remember I was young. I was like 21, oh. I think, the first time. I was six. Yeah. Yeah. So I just remember that. But
you know, now I have a statue.
An iron statue someplace. Yeah. Now there are ways to, as science has progressed, we have learned that there are certain foods that you can take that help to create a stronger, sweeter taste to.
Oh, and does Babalu do that?
No, but I don't mind. I just kind of know what I'm getting with him.
Are you, so. Yeah. Are you ever like, ugh, it tastes like ropa vieja?
No, but thank you for that. The next time that he nuts in my mouth, that's going to be your voice is going to be in my head.
Do you ever,
which is terrifying.
Do you ever Baba blow in his mouth?
No.
Oh,
no,
really?
He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. Oh, whereas I have absolutely no problem.
I have no problem with it.
I swallow.
Yeah. Here's the weird thing. I think I talked about this on shows before. If it's from the source into my mouth, love. But it can't touch another object in between. Like if it's on a plate, no. Spoon, no. Old boot, no. Right?
Who's coming on plates and then handing it to you?
I'm just stating things for the record, Taylor.
Okay, but what if it's on? Okay, because I've had situations.
Cracker,
in
which, no.
So Miss Cracker?
Oh, Miss Cracker. Okay, but yeah, not a saltine.
Okay. So has there ever been a time in which maybe you know you're with somebody and they come, but it's like they come on themselves?
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
that's
lick
fine.
It off?
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, okay. Something organic. Yeah. That's fine.
Yes. So it has to be on something carbon based. In order for you,
Okay.
So now, is it? Are you very much of the where you want to have mouth on dick, or is it okay if you do the sort of thing where you're like your mouth's open and then they like come on
Either
one is fine.
Either one is fine.
I'm fine with either one. Babalu is not all about Babalu. I mean, trust me, Babalu is completely fine with me. Like you know, swallowing. But you know we've definitely like would be completely fine with him like just like blowing a load on my face and he hasn't necessarily done that yet. But you know TikTok.
I was talking.
I have a list of goals for 2021, and apparently that's on my list.
I was talking to a friend who blew someone recently, and he was like, "Ugh," he's like, "he just came too much." I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
No,
what does that mean? I was like, "What?" He's like, "It was like filling up my mouth." I'm like, "Uh huh."
Okay, there is these videos that I found. Apparently, that is a condition called hyperspermia. And there's, I will send you a. These videos are terrifying to watch. Mm-hmm. Where it's this guy who like literally can fill up like one of those like Pyrex like measuring cups.
And it's now you grossed like, me out. You grossed me out because it hit a Pyrex measuring cup. That grosses me out.
Well, no, I'm not expecting you to like pick it up and then no, but I mean, just watching him do it. Like the first time you're like, oh, wow, that's quite, oh, God, you know, sort of thing. So where it's just everywhere. So
have you ever
however, videos where, and I'm not normally like a twink guy. Mm-hmm. I know that's kind of your wheelhouse, but videos of where a twink actually is jerking off and hits himself in the face. So fucking hot.
Really? That's a great transition to the next question I have. Have you ever paid for an OnlyFans account?
Yes.
Oh.
I did briefly because I was very curious. Mm-hmm. It was somebody that I followed who did like comedy memes.
Okay.
And I was, but he was starting to go into like an OnlyFans thing. And I'm like, I kind of want to see, it was not that I was necessarily attracted to him, but I was much more just, it was a curiosity thing. And I think I paid for 1 month and then saw enough that I went, no, that's fine.
Yes. I've done it a couple of times. The first time, by the way, and this is not a lie, a friend of mine is going to come on a show that I'm doing. I don't want to give too many details away right now, but a show that's coming out soon. And he wants to have a segment where he reviews OnlyFans, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. And so after talking about it, I'm like, I should sign up and see what it – there's this – I'm gonna call this motherfucker out right now, actually. I followed this Reno Gold, you know?
Yeah.
And what a fucking ripoff his OnlyFans is. I'm going to tell you, you get nothing for like the money you pay. I don't know what it is now, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then when you go in there, he has videos that he then charges you more for. All you get are like 1 minute teasers for the videos that he's then charging you another like $20 for or something. And I'm like, oh, go fuck yourself, Reno Gold, right?
Well, the one video that I found on Pornhub or something, he does with a fuck machine. And I was
I'm also not sure that he's gay, believe it or not.
Well, he's gay to the bank, because I've seen that he makes like, he's one of like OnlyFans top.
Oh, is he? You know,
yeah, he makes a ton of money every month.
Yeah. So then the other one I signed up for, and this guy does give you more content and he's cheaper, is a guy named Connor Peters, Australian guy.
Okay.
But here's the deal. I don't blame Connor Peters for that, right? Is I think because of COVID, and he seems to follow it somewhat, right? I mean, you're just limited what you can do.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he has some, you know, action scenes. I don't know what you call them, right? But mm-hmm. Most of them just him jerking off, right? And there's just, mm-hmm. and what I was going to say is he and Reno Gold both do the like, oh, watch me suck my own dick or come my own face kind of thing. And
yeah.
It's like, you can only see that. I've seen it once. Okay. We get it.
Yeah. You know.
This week.
You did it to yourself.
I know. I did it to myself.
Probably it would be me saying something like that. And then you would, yeah. You did it to yourself this week.
Yeah. So anyway.
Twists and turns with season 13.
Yeah. 13. Yeah. The new Pork Chop Lounge. Anyway, Taylor, two things I liked. One thing I didn't. Two things I liked. I actually do. I think it is the best way to start off these seasons is when they divide them into teams. Season 6 was a notable one where you get to know the queens more.
Yeah.
And I think they did it last year too, didn't they?
Yeah. I feel like they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they did do it last year. And so, it allows you to get to know the queens more. And so, this was, good. And then also we get to see them two at a time. You can absorb them more, get to know them more, look at their outfits, see how they lip sync and whatnot. So I thought that was a very clever way to start off the season. Another thing I liked, go ahead. Yes.
I did notice that this will be the first season that no one can get all the way through without saying that they had to lip sync once.
Oh,
everybody
right.
had to lip sync at least one time this year. You're so right. We're not going to have a Sasha Velour who doesn't lip sync all the way until the end.
Yeah. And then another thing I liked, what I didn't like I see what you mean that you're like, okay, here we go with the lip syncs. But I did, you know, what I liked about it is because there wasn't a lot of bullshit. Is actually, I don't think all the lip syncs that we saw were the equal length that we saw, but you got to see longer lip syncs.
Yes.
Than we're used to seeing, you know, like some of them were longer than others, but I like that too. The one thing I didn't like, there were some queens, you're right, that are problematic. And I'm going to say, well, let me put it this way. Not only say problematic, there's no queen that I find problematic, but there are some queens that I can already see. And you know, I'm trying to find a way to word this correctly. But last season, I was not a fan it is the month of January. And I was not a fan of this Jan, you know, mostly because, by the way, I was a fan of her as a boy, man. What a motherfucking chef's kiss hotness, right? But just as a person, I wanted to fucking throw out a window. Okay.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. And, yeah.
And with all her jantasy and stuff like that, I wanted to commit janslaughter. So,
how long did you workshop that one?
No, one half a second right now in my head. But then do you remember when she got eliminated? All these pressed white twinks, right? That were so upset that she was eliminated. Meanwhile, she went when she should have gone home.
Yeah.
Honestly, the one thing I will say about Jan, not to rehash last season, she did get fucked over in the Madonna challenge. You know, I still will stand by that. But other than that, she went home right when she should have gone home. All right. Maybe even a little late. But remember that all because she was a white twink, all like the basic white gays got super, super pissed. They get super pissed when anything happens to a basic white gay. There are a number of queens on here that I can already see when and if they're eliminated. People are going to lose their goddamn minds.
Oh, I can think of one immediately. One immediately came to mind as you were saying that.
Yeah. Are you talking about Utica Queen?
No.
Oh, we're talking about Rosé?
No.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Who am I talking about?
Denali.
No.
Oh, really? Look how many basic white gays are on this season. Okay. We'll have to discuss this when we get to them, because I have a lot to say about each of the ones you're talking about. And so you can reveal when we get to them. But I actually think my theory is, if, I really don't know, if she does not win the whole thing, we'll say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Utica Queen fan, they're going to, because she's so quirky and like, I'm quirky that like,
yeah.
I don't know if she's Authority Thor or if she's a Katya. We'll find out. You know,
but I get more Thorgy than Katya. I get more like Thorgy, just like, you know, if Thorgy and Olive Oil had a baby, like that's kind of what I get as far as from her.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, very good. So those are the things I didn't like. So let's jump right into the season here. Let's start. So I'm assuming anyone who's listening has watched the episodes. So is it going to be? Well, we already spoiled it in the top of the show. So let's talk about lip sync round one. The first pair of queens to enter the workroom are Candy Muse and Joey J. The pair are called to the main stage to perform a lip sync for their lives to Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen. Candy Muse entertains the judges and is named the winner of the round, while Joey J is sent to the pork chop loading dock. Taylor, your thoughts on this whole segment with Candy Muse, which I have a lot to say about Candy Muse and Joey J. You know, Candy Muse came in, her phrase was from the hood to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And Joey J came in and just said, filler queen, which I don't know why you would announce that, but okay.
Well, I think that she announced that because I think she wanted to portray herself as a filler queen to give a false sense of like, oh, we can take her out. And then immediately, because she's, well, later on, she says filler queen plot twist. She says it in one of the interviews. So I think that that's where she was thinking that she was going to present herself in a way, you know.
How much of this do you think she's seen she's going to, in a way, own this phrase now and put it on T-shirts and whatnot?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to see filler queen T-shirts with her on it.
And
absolutely.
Like, just like her eyelashes and lipstick, you know, mark. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, God.
And because she normally says that she normally doesn't wear a wig. So I was surprised to see her. Mm-hmm. I remember that from her Meet the Queens video. She'll say filler queen, and then there'll just be the purple coiffed of hair.
Yeah. And then all the fat pigs walking around DragCon wearing those T-shirts. And
oh, God. So I had more, as we're talking about it, I definitely have a little bit more to say than I thought I did initially, but mm-hmm. I found that this was the first example of when we did the Meet the Queens episode zero, there are queens that I definitely liked more than others.
Yeah.
And now I am kind of feeling like we are ones that I didn't like their interview, I like more, and ones that I like their interview, I didn't. Mm-hmm. Candy Muse is an example of that. Sure. I feel like specifically from the idea of the confessionals.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she is going to be somebody who gives really strong confessionals.
Sure.
And I feel like tonight was definitely proof of that, because really when you think about it, they talked more about her. They showed more of her confessionals than they did Joey's.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely, she is the larger presence there. I thought that I liked the twist of the first two. I knew that they were doing six lip syncs, but I didn't know that that's how they were going to do it, where they kind of brought the two over and then brought them in. And between the two, though, I feel like Joey was a better lip syncer than Candy was.
Okay, I have a lot to say about this. This, I said this on the Meet the Queens, I'm going to say it again. I just need, it bears repeating, which I think is the name of a drag race show, by the way. A few years ago, Evan Ayers came to Los Angeles and we went to go see the House of Aja. I want everyone to remember that he tried to steal her belt. That's a whole other story. And I saw in the House of Aja was Aja, this Dahlia Sin, and this Candy Muse. And I know Dahlia Sin was eliminated first, but I will say she gave a kick-ass drag performance. Okay. Where I was thinking I could see this bitch on Drag Race and doing well. Okay.
Yeah.
She just did. She was really good. This Candy Muse, what a boring pig she is, right? She was so awful. They came out and do two numbers at this Mickey's. Both numbers. So boring, right?
Uh-huh.
Don't like her, right? And then she came in, and we all know, I think that this Aja is one sexy motherfucker, right? She has an OnlyFans. I bet you that's a good OnlyFans.
Dahlia Sin has an OnlyFans too. I think so, yeah.
I saw some very amazing people on our Discord. By the way, if you don't know this, when you're on Patreon, you get access to a Discord channel.
Mm-hmm.
And on that Discord server, is something called the Porn Decor Lounge,
mm-hmm.
where people post amazing things on this Porn Decor Lounge. And I've seen some OnlyFans stuff that people have posted.
Mm-hmm.
Chef's kiss.
Yes.
As annoying as the vixen was, let's talk about this, man. Speaking of OnlyFans and Drag Race, the vixen has posted some great, fantastic videos, right? Okay. You know who I don't like? I'm combining all the things we talked about. Basic white gays, OnlyFans, and Drag Race.
Uh-huh.
This horrible milk, right?
Oh.
Have you seen the milks?
Yes, right? Yes. Unfortunately, I watched it.
The one where she's getting fucked by the transphobic guy. He's like a racist and transphobic. I don't know his name, right? Which is good.
Diego Sands.
Thank you. This Diego Sands, who's been accused, I don't know, allegedly, of being transphobic and racist, right? And mm-hmm. Milk has had her own transphobia problems, and she's promised to do better. Okay, not only is it, I don't know, there's something about this Milk I do not find attractive. I don't like the basic, thin-lipped white gay, okay? Mm-hmm. And everyone looks up to her. She's so basic to me, right?
Yeah.
And then she's getting railed by this Diego Sands, which is fine. Go, girl, get it, right?
Live your life.
But you know this, and I know this. The first half of the video is her in voiceover talking about how they went to dinner and she didn't have time to clean her ass out. And you might see shit flying all over the place. I'm like, bitch, I don't need to see this while you're getting railed by Diego Sands. Like, TMI, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I didn't see any fucking poop or anything like this.
There's like a half a second at one point that it was already in my head. So then I'm doing the thing of where I'm looking for it so that I could be grossed out and... There's like a half a second cut that I thought, that might have been what that was.
Yeah. So. Well, I didn't need the dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this Milk. But Aj is OnlyFans anyway. Anyway, so go ahead.
Now, what were your thoughts on Candy? Like pretty much right. House of Aja.
Yeah. I should call her Candy Abuse because she's sitting there saying horrible things about my Aja, right? Talking about how Aja, she thinks Aja was jealous of her. Of Candy Muse? Who would ever be jealous? You know, the only person jealous of this Candy Muse is maybe Khloe Kardashian. Who would ever be jealous of, Taylor, tell me, name a person who would be jealous of Candy Muse.
Carney Wilson?
Yeah, maybe Carney Wilson. Who would ever be jealous of this Candy Muse? Then she says that she sees, she puts her hand like shoulder, her one hand shoulder height, and then her other hand, that is where Aja is, and she puts the other hand by her like forehead, and that's where she is. I'm like, this Aja puts on such a good death drops, like, is she gonna jump from there kind of shit? I saw her perform, this doll, you said, this Candy Muse, I thought she was the person to sweep up in between because she was so boring, right?
She came out in overalls.
Yeah. She came out. I thought she was they're cleaning up the, you know, if you've been to a drag show, the person who comes and picks up the money. That's what I thought she was. I thought she was, look at this person who's here. Look at, and he's doing an impression of Laurel and Hardy, the fat one from Laurel and Hardy. I don't know whoever it is.
Hardy is the fat one because I remember somebody saying that he was very Hardy shaped. So that's how I remember who's Laurel and who's
Hardy. Well, then he's Hardy. She's coming in there and Dahlia Sin was Laurel. Right? I'm like, oh, look, they're doing a drag Laurel and Hardy, you know? This Candy Muse, like, it's sad when you're Silky Nutmeg Ganache without the charm.
Wow! Okay.
I don't like this Candy Muse. She's insulting my Aja. She says she's a member of the dollhouse. It must be a big fucking house.
She is the dollhouse.
Yeah. What doll is it? King Kong Bundy? We're going to call her King.
You're going to get so many letters.
I'm a King Kong Bundy Muse is what I'm going to call her. Queen Kong Bundy Muse is what I'm going to call her. Oh, I didn't like her. She was annoying. Opening her big mouth. I don't like her. Right. Anyway.
So what did you think of Joey J?
Well, she was just annoying with this filler queen. You know, so before we get into, because they were the first two in the workroom. Dave, I realized some very subtle things. You and I both discussed how there's a stage in the workroom for some reason.
Right.
I guess we'll find out what that's for. And then there's a couch set, like a whole sectional, which is good.
Yeah.
You know? And but what I've noticed, they must have moved the studio because there aren't as many like pillars. Remember, these used to be those big pillars?
Yes.
There's maybe only a few hidden ones. They have much more room to run around in the workroom and more space. But here's my question. Like, here's the deal. I really do believe that these girls were genuinely surprised. Because as a reality show, why would you want to lose that? You can actually really – that would be such great television to capture the actual shock on their face that that's what they're there for. Right? So I'm not – I don't have any conspiracy theory here. Okay?
Okay.
But I find it odd because I do think – the bit with the boombox was so clever, okay? Where she was starting the song and ending the song on the boombox. But how would she know to bring, like, that's so weird. Like, how did she, like, in the moment and the nerves know to do that, to bring that? It's like, that's so strange. Like, again, I'm not alleging it. I really do think they wanted the surprise. So I will actually give Candy that it was very clever of her to do that.
Well, but you will notice that later on, one of the queens brings in a little purse and she has hers as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So it might be where they just said, bring everything you got, bring everything on you.
Yeah.
Take it with you to the, and then she just thought enough to go, I'm going to hit play. I'm going to hit stop. So I will give her that one because they comment later on. Mm-hmm. I forget which queen it was, but she had a little tiny purse and Michelle asked her a question along the lines of, so you're carrying all of your makeup and everything in your purse. And she said, yes.
Okay.
So.
Now, going to Joey J, I have a friend who has gone on to do great things, okay? Mm-hmm. She's a wonderful person. She does great things. You can see her. She's like one of those talking heads on, like, CNN and Fox and stuff like that, talking about government and the law and stuff like that. But I remember in college her telling me something, which it's been something I've tried to some degree, live up to, which is what she does is she tells people how great she is, and then it's her responsibility to live up to that, okay? And so I think the opposite is also true as well, that if you talk shit on yourself, I think maybe Joey J thinks she's setting the bar low for it to exceed it. But like, she calls herself a filler queen. She says she's the dumbest bitch you'll ever meet. She describes herself as basic. And I feel that if people treat you the way you treat yourself. So if she treats herself like that, people are going to see her as filler queen and basic and the dumbest bitch you'll ever meet.
Right.
And so
we teach people how to talk to us.
We teach people how to talk to us. You're right. That's exactly it. Like Candy Muse taught me to never talk to her. So, anyway, I keep thinking of more insults for this Candy Muse. But I really have a whole 16 episodes. I don't know how long she lasts before, like, you know, a whole 16 episodes and make fun of Candy Muse.
Right. Don't blow your load all at once.
Hopefully it's just two.
You got to edge a little.
So but Joey J at this stage, beyond like, I'm like, bitch, why are you doing yourself? Oh, you know what I will say? There was something about her. And so listen to the words I'm saying. I am not comparing her to this queen. Okay. What I am saying is there is something about the way she physically, because Joey J, if you remember from Meet the Queens, famously doesn't wear wigs. However, she's wearing a wig in this episode.
Right.
And with her wig and the feathers and the way her face is beat and everything like that, and also the energy she was giving me, it was just really reminding me of Pandora Box. I got a lot of Pandora Box from her.
Which is, okay, I got something similar but different.
Well, yeah, what is that?
I got Brooklyn Heights.
Oh, interesting.
She looked very much like Brooklyn Heights to me, with the infamous the night she was lip synced against Evie. Mm-hmm. Like, that was sort of the look that I got from her as far as her face and everything.
Oh,
so not so much personality, but definitely look.
Very, very interesting. Which you just reminded me of something with, going back to Candy Nutmeg Ganache, is that she comes in with this energy, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I'm going to fucking be do. I'm going to fucking do. Right? And I'm like, if you're I'm not saying that there isn't a place for that kind of queen. There is, you know? But when have you ever seen a queen like that do well on this show? Now, hear me out. Is, I think Aja was going for a Vanjie energy.
Uh-huh.
But I feel it veered closer to Silky's first entrance, where she's a little much. Because the one thing I'll say about Vanjie is she has that voice and that gruff exterior and saying random shit. But I will say there is a humility about Vanjie, and also she's self-effacing, you know?
Yes.
Which I think brings charm to that sort of gruff personality, where I didn't get that sense from Candy.
But no, I definitely got more Silky than Vanjie with her. And but I also feel like the confessionals are going to be why they keep her around. Mm-hmm. If she can start to do some funny, I mean, because she is so much in your face, that I feel like, you know, if she could be the one with the arc of the humility arc.
Yeah.
Of where they teach her to, you know, not be so loud and boisterous. There's other ones that are coming later on that I feel like there's no helping them. But as far as with her, I feel like they're coming in where there is almost, she's the worst parts of Silky and Britta with the confidence and the, you know, look at me kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then doesn't necessarily have the chops to show, you know, like that her lip sync against Joey to me was very subpar. Oh, I was really expecting her to, do a death drop or to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, other than turning the stereo on and off, there wasn't really anything that to me stood out as memorable.
Well, if I'm not, let's get to the lip sync. You're right. When I was watching this, and I'll be honest with you, I'm gonna tip my hand a little bit, with maybe a couple of exceptions. For the most part, all the lip sync seemed like they could go either way, at least the way they were edited. And in this one, I was almost even notably offended by the fact that she did that Monet fake out with the death drop, even doing the sign of the cross and everything like that. And you might say she's making a reference to that, but bitch, it's too early to do that. And I felt it's so early that we don't know you well enough that it seemed like you were copying the bit, you know?
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I felt Joey J delivered a better lip sync. What I will say, and this is, you know, when we're going to get into production here, I think that for the most part, the teams were already decided.
Yes, I definitely got that feeling of where they knew how they wanted to match up. Because I also feel like some of the winners of the lip sync went to the losers lounge, because they can't have it where, if they're going to have them play against teams, that they're top heavy with all of the winners in one and all of the losers, you know, where there are ones that could have actually been the winners, but they called it for the other person. So it's actually a mixture.
Well, I think that there's one in particular that we'll talk to that they tipped their hand early on that they were going to send her to the Pork Chop Lounge. That they were sending, I don't know if they were sending a message, but it was something they were doing. It was intentional. Mm-hmm. Anything else to say about Joey J and Candy Muse?
No, let's move on to the next.
Let's move on to the next one. The next two queens to enter are figure skater Denali and Atlanta performer Lala Ri. After some initial questions from the judges, the two compete in a lip sync to When I Grow Up by the Pussycat Dolls. Lala Ri is named the winner of this round, while Denali is sent to join Joey J in the Pork Chop Loading Dock. Taylor, your thoughts here on Denali and Lala Ri?
I loved the energy coming off of Lala Ri.
Okay.
There was that. I don't remember necessarily how much I liked her. I remember thinking she was kind of unpolished. I sort of remember thinking that with the Meet the Queens, and she definitely, there is still a need for a little more polish on her, but just the energy from her, I think that she looked beautiful, and the lip sync was much more interesting than Denali's. Denali was making me nervous with the ice skates, with the way she was doing kicks and stuff. With, yeah. I mean, she could have really hurt Lala Ri.
I read that she had guards on it, that she had some sort of like guards.
That's still a piece of metal that she's flinging around. And mm-hmm. I almost feel like this whipping the ponytail around mm-hmm. was a way to try to hit Lala Ri. Like,
oh,
she
really?
I just feel like she was almost weaponized, but I'm just not necessarily, I wasn't a fan of Denali, and she's definitely one that I see why they sent her to the pork chop lounge.
Well, as you predicted, Taylor, she did not stop fucking talking about how she was an ice skater.
Yes.
Which, you know, this is a weird, interesting thing, because I think it's I think we are in some sort of anniversary about Princess Diana's death. We just passed it, didn't we?
July.
I think you're in July. But anyway, I remember it's come up recently. I don't know why, right? And yeah. The night I met Princess Diana, not I met Princess Diana.
I'm sorry, what?
I was hanging out with Princess Diana, the Johnny Versace, and Elton John. And boy, did we have a laugh. Anyway, we went to see a fortune teller, and she said, only two of you are going to live. And we were like, what? I don't know what that's talking about. Anyway, the night Princess Diana died, I distinctly remember this. I went out to the Abbey. Now, at this stage, for the people who know West Hollywood or the Abbey, at this time, the Abbey was just a coffee house. It didn't used to be a bar. It was a coffee house that was next door to like a statue store, place that sold statues, right?
Okay.
And fountains. And it was this coffee house. So when you were under 21, it was a place that all the young gays could eat. Well, you did one of two things. If you were under 21, that's where you just went. Right. Uh-huh. But if you were over 21, it was an easy place. We're like, oh, let's all meet at the Abbey and then we'll go bar hopping in West Hollywood.
Right.
So the night Princess Diana died, I wasn't 21.
I was going to say. And now it makes you sad that it's not a coffee house, because it would be an easy place for you to find guys under 21.
I don't know what you're talking about, Taylor. I'm taken. Anyway, by a person who wasn't born when this happened. And
okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That night, I met an ice skater. We were flirting with each other, and all he motherfucking did was talk about the fucking goddamn ice capades. They were in L.A. at the time, and I was like, "Oh, really? Okay, you're in the ice capades." Blah 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 blah. And then we left, not me and him, my friends and I, we left and we turned on the radio, and it's when they had, like, Princess Diana dead, you know? Mm-hmm. And, have you seen that video going around Reddit, this past week? Maybe that's why I was thinking about it, where it's a bunch of, I don't know why they're filming themselves, a bunch of gay guys in an apartment in that time, you know, probably about early 30s. And they have the TV on and they report her, she's been in an accident, but she's alive. And so they're like, kind of jokingly playing like Uno or something, and then they announce that she died, and they fucking lose their shit, and they're like, and then they stop playing and they gather on the TV and watch, like, with tears coming down their eyes about Princess Diana's death and whatnot.
No.
Oh yeah, it's really interesting. It has a time capsule. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, so this is Denali.
Denali.
Yeah. Can't stop talking about being an ice skater. Mm-hmm. Lala Ri, I like her. I'll be honest with you, I like her, but I kind of agree with Denali based on that entrance outfit. I was like, bitch, unless you step your pussy up, you're not long for this world.
Yeah.
It's gonna be shalala and away.
And she's the one that's Tamisha's daughter, right?
Oh, is she?
Is she the one that's her drag daughter?
Girl, what do I know? What am I, Ancestry.com? I don't know the shit.
Okay, well, because I thought that that was whoever, if she won, I knew that Tamisha wasn't going to win because there was no way they were going to allow the two of them to find out that they were together. That they're saving that for a storyline for a little bit later. One thing that I will say in the middle of all this is they were definitely planting seeds for storylines in episode one. You can see you can see them pulling the strings already, and these girls haven't even met.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move on. Oh, did we talk about the lip sync between Lala and Denali? What were your thoughts on that? Oh, we did, with the whipping the hair and the skates. Yeah. I really liked the energy that Lala was bringing to that lip sync. Once again, if they would have gone to Denali, I don't know if I would have been so shocked. But I did like the energy that Lala was giving. All right, next, Polaroid-clad Simone and cancer survivor Tamisha Iman enter the workroom. On the main stage, Simone enchants the judges, and Tamisha talks about overcoming stage 3 colon cancer. The two square off in a lip-sync battle to The Pleasure Principle by Janet Jackson, which when that song came on, I could imagine you screaming in your house. Simone beats Tamisha and joins Candy Muse and La La Ree in the winner's lounge, while Tamisha Iman is sent to join the other first eliminated queens. Taylor, your thoughts on Simone and Tamisha? And by the way, I don't think it's a secret here. You yourself are a cancer survivor. And so did any of this ring true, or what did you have any feelings about this?
I was very fortunate that my cancer was not nearly as significantly debilitating as hers was. And I'm glad to see that she's back and that she got a chance to come back for season 13. both of these queens were people that I was not necessarily thrilled with their Meet the Queens videos. I know that Simone had the big rings in her hair and she had the gold teeth in. Mm-hmm. And Tamisha, we talked about her wig, was kind of a mess and she had the big breastplate. I really kind of liked both of them. Mm-hmm. And for different reasons. I think that Tamisha definitely served confessional. She was a great confessional. And I also think that, apparently she had the quote of the night with the lady said, go home. Mm-hmm. I've seen that all over Twitter. And Simone could be the lip sync assassin for the season. Mm-hmm. I definitely really kind of liked her. I love the idea of the dress with all of the Polaroids together. I thought that she looked beautiful. The lip sync, I immediately said, Tamisha's doing the Pleasure Principle video right now. She's doing the choreography of that video. Okay. It was very mid-80s Janet Jackson which I loved that. But when you compared it to Simone, it makes sense why Tamisha, between those two, was the one who was in the bottom.
Yeah.
What say you?
Well, I like Simone very much. The Polaroid outfit, I feel we've seen something like that before. Not that specifically, but something along those lines before. Didn't Willem do a similar, he did his own picture kind of thing, I believe, on season 4? But like,
maybe. What it reminded me of was the year that the costume designer for Priscilla Queen of the Desert won the Oscar. Yeah. She had made her dress out of American Express gold cards.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So that's what it was. So it was kind of that chainmail, type of thing. And I remember that as that. That's what immediately what it reminded me of.
Yeah. But I liked the outfit. I liked her energy. There was something that I was like,
yes.
Yeah. Simone has that energy and the look worked, but even just the boldness of trying to look like that indicates someone to me that can go very far. That makes sense. Because they have sort of that courage to pull it. That's a tricky outfit to pull off. It could either go very wrong or very right. In this case, it went very, very right. Tamisha Iman, there were rumors last year that there was another queen that got eliminated because of an illness. And so this is just confirming that rumor. But on the opposite end, I liked her and I applaud her her struggle with her illness, but there was already sort of a defeatist, like, I'm already old. By the way, how is she only 43 and she's been doing it for 30 years? I think we gotta check our math before we give our age on the show. Tamisha Iman sort of has this, for having as much experience as she did, I would expect she owned, like, they asked her directly. She's like, well, I'm not as good as I used to be. I feel I'm not saying that she's wrong, but you do not tell RuPaul that.
Yeah. That was just pretty much a send me home kind of statement.
Yes. Yes. I agree. And so, and in terms of the lip sync, you're right. There was not that Tamisha Iman was bad, but there was a sort of like, I'm doing Janet Jackson and Simone is doing her own interpretation. There was a uniqueness.
Yeah.
To what she was doing there. Any other thoughts on Simone and Tamisha Iman, or even going back to Candy and Joey and Lala and Denali?
Talking about Tamisha, you know, when you just said that as far as the send me home because I'm the old queen, you know, the first person that comes to mind with that would be Charlie. Charlie Hides.
Yeah.
Was similar where Charlie was, I think Charlie was 50.
Yeah.
And was very much from the beginning, well, this is my week to go home for the 3 or 4 weeks she was there before they actually did send her home. The difference is that I feel like Tamisha is already receiving a lot of love from just from what I've seen on Twitter and stuff. So I feel like the difference there is Tamisha, you want to root for Tamisha, whereas I don't know that you necessarily ever really wanted to root for Charlie.
Yeah.
Like that she kind of gets out of her head a little bit and that she does better.
Yeah. I actually really agree with you. I think that's a very astute point. And I completely 100% agree with that. I do root for Denali. I mean, not Denali, I'm sorry. Tamisha Iman. And I want her to go well, but I'm just like, don't sell yourself short. I get disappointed when she's selling herself short. All right, Taylor, any other final thoughts?
Not on them.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go to round four, but we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll be back right after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, spring is here. And with spring comes more social events. Now, for a lot of people, that's very exciting because they've been sad because they've been so alone during the winter. This is super exciting. But for a lot of people, I'm somewhere in the middle, this can be very draining, okay? You have to go to a bunch of social events. And it for me, at least, it always seems like when it rains, it pours. So there'll be a weekend where I'm doing nothing. And then there's a weekend where I have to do 10 million things and be in 4 million places all at once. And it's very draining. Have to entertain people and talk to people and be on all the time. Completely drains your social battery. Believe it or not, therapy can give you, and this is what I've learned, some self-awareness about how to set boundaries, how to say yes to things, how to say no to things, and how to keep your mental health safe. I have personally learned how to do this through therapy. It's been very helpful for me. It's how I keep my sanity, even when it seems like there are too many things to go to. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, do me a favor. Give BetterHelp a try. It's totally online. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to park anywhere. You do it in the comfort of your own home. And it's designed, it's even created to be convenient, flexible, and totally suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragrace today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragrace.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Yeah! All right, Taylor.
I will occasionally do that to my husband, where I'll say, and that makes him laugh every time I do that. So I thank you for reminding me.
I don't know.
When I actually have an orgasm later today, that's what I'm going to do right as I come.
I don't know why. It makes me laugh too. Me being, yeah. I don't know why. It makes me laugh. You know, Taylor, before we go to round four here, Taylor and I we've had some conversation. Guys, we've had some conversations over during my vacation. Taylor and I do talk, as much to his chagrin, off the air. And one of the things I talked about is I've sort of gotten a new lease on, not life, but on this podcast. And I've made some decisions.
Decisions.
Yeah.
Raspberries.
I've made some decisions about not necessarily the show, but my approach to the show. And there was a time when I think especially when I started to feel the heat that there were a lot of other competing podcasts that I tried to be. I wanted the show to be everything. And I felt in those moments, the show was just okay at being everything. And I've decided just to be good at what we're good at, which is having fun with this motherfucking show. And being we're essentially a comedy podcast about RuPaul's Drag Race. And actually sort of the benefits of the competition is that if you – like, in other words, let's take Race Chasers. They have – on Race Chaser, they have access to the queens to some extent.
Right.
And so even if they can't – like, for instance, World of Wonder now has been doing a thing where they have a moratorium on the current queens going on any show that isn't a World of Wonder show. But they can talk to them behind, you know what I'm saying? They get the tea behind the scenes. So there's no way we're going to ever beat Race Chaser on the tea. Okay.
Right.
And there are shows that do better at like, the dress that, Tamisha Iman is wearing is reminiscent of, Dieter Ritz in season, you know, and you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to beat that either. So the best that we can be is, you know, two hosts who are, well, one host who's very funny and another person. And we talk about, I'm the other person. You're the one that's funny.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly where I was
thinking. Yeah. And just like, just have motherfucking fun with this show. We can't be, so let me tell you this. We're going to get shit wrong. Okay. Yeah. We're going to get shit wrong. Trust me. Let me tell everybody this. Cause you know, this is not a plug for Patreon. But people on Patreon know this, on Discord know this. If I get one motherfucking word wrong about anything that happened on this fucking show, this Nami Harder will be posting immediately on the Discord. I will be, in other words, if you're listening at home and go, Joe's wrong. Like, Denali is not white. Denali is Mexican and Jewish, right?
Right.
I have such a good joke on that one, by the way. And, it is such a good show.
I can watch the wheels. I'm watching the, do I say the joke or do I save the joke or what do I do? Yes. No, that's
it is. I will tell it after the show because I don't want to get letters. Right.
Right.
I don't want to get letters.
Right.
I'm probably going to get a letter from me saying I have a joke so good that's from my letters. Anyway, that's the new, but the Batanz doctrine. The Batanz Doctrine's official now. We're just going to have motherfucking fun with this show and make fun of RuPaul and make fun of the people on this show. And if you hear me and I say something wrong, I promise Nami Harder has already. Let me tell you this.
He's the GIF of the cat where they take the hands on the keyboard and just. That's Nami.
How fast Nami is. He's in Australia, so he's like so many hours ahead. He's already messaged me about what I got wrong. All right. Before I even started the show, I got a note that says,
not here.
Yeah, he's not even here. They just get the show early in Australia, 15 hours early or something like that.
Right. Before we record it.
Nami's already correct. And you know what? Now he's like this Luke Stamen. Now that I said this, it's going to be now like a pity party. And I guess I won't correct Joe anymore. I guess I'm not appreciated when I just try and, you know, put facts out there. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. On this new Batanz Doctrine, I don't give a shit. Have the pity party that you want. Invite Luke. Anyway. Next hand of the week. Next end of the workroom, our makeup artist Gottmik and Utica Queen. Oh, wait, I don't want to not. This is a very clever line. Next end of the workroom, our makeup artist Gottmik and Utica Queen. In this round, the song is Rumors by Lindsay Lohan. Utica Queen's wackiness isn't enough to beat Gottmik, and she is sent to join the other losers. Taylor Latte Boy, your thoughts?
I assume Gottmik is your trade of the season.
Joe Batanz's. No.
As a boy?
Very cute, but no, I'll be honest with you. There is no Maybe the closest is Denali, you know, but there's no trade of the season for Joe Bittens this year. And he just Denali's kind of.
Okay. Maybe. All right. I loved everything about Gottmik's look, which then you have on the other side of the spectrum. I couldn't stand Utica. Utica's was just messy and chaotic, but I also kind of get that that is sort of what we're going to get with Utica. I feel like it is going to be that messy, chaotic, a lot going on, kind of the, you know, actual physical personification of ADD kind of thing. That's sort of what I get from her. She wasn't necessarily my favorite, but I wasn't necessarily thrilled with Gottmik's lip sync either. I thought they were both, it was kind of sort of one of the subpar lip syncs.
So
not my favorite.
Here's the thing. I agree with you. Gottmik even says she's not a lip sync assassin. I think says it on the stage, you know. Her look is fantastic. And I think Gottmik, if RuPaul's Drag Race, I want to live in a world where I hope that RuPaul's Drag Race put Gottmik on the show based on his merits.
Okay. Yes, I get what
Even though I will
that,
say, yeah. I do want to stand corrected here. I did learn post Meet the Queens that Gottmik in drag prefers female pronouns.
Okay.
So we'll use female pronouns for that. So that Gottmik, as a drag queen, was accepted onto the show based on her merits, okay? And from what I've seen with the makeup and the looks and everything, I think she more than, you know, she exceeds expectations. But in terms of the lip sync, it could have gone either way for me. Both lip syncs I thought were lackluster.
Yes.
And yes. I almost wonder, and I hope this is not the case, that Gottmik just won just because, like I told you, I don't think this is limited to Gottmik, is that I feel the production had a storyline. They were going to put certain queens in the winner's pile and the certain queens in the loser pile. And that was it. That was kind of predetermined. And I think Gottmik, it was predetermined for whatever reason that she would be placed in the winner pile. And, but it could have gone either way. If they would have put, Utica Queen in there. But the thing is, we don't know what's going to happen, wink, wink, with the losers. But I imagine the show, knowing what a groundbreaking event this is to have Gottmik on the show, is going to put Gottmik in jeopardy so early on. Just from a production standpoint. Because imagine, like, right now, as the storyline goes, these queens are, well, one of them's gone, you know, based on the storyline.
Yeah.
And the uproar that would be in the gay media if Gottmik was even at threat of going home after being such a groundbreaking person. I'm sure they were like, yeah, Gottmik. And look, there's a person who I think had to go into the loser's pile as well, which I don't think we've gotten to yet. And that was just the case. I don't know if you agree with that or disagree with that. I'm trying to say it in a way that's sensitive, does not say that, oh, I don't believe Gottmik is only there because he is a trans male. Just like, for instance, for those of you who don't follow Dragula season 3, spoiler alert, I don't know if you followed Dragula, but season 3 was won by a drag king, and everyone who watched that season knew wholeheartedly that Landon Sider was very much miles ahead of everybody else and should have won, you know?
Yes, should have won.
And so I think the same thing is true with Gottmik. I don't know how far Gottmik goes, but it has proven that she as a drag queen should be there. And so,
well, and we've even seen this already with, you know, Joe's other favorite show, Camp Wanakiki, where they had a trans man. They've already had this already on a YouTube channel show, you know, versus this. So, I mean, when you're saying that this is groundbreaking for RuPaul's Drag Race, not necessarily drag competition shows.
Well, because, let's be honest. The only people that watched this Camp Wanakiki were people who were forced to sit at a Hamburger Mary's. Okay. And it was on the TVs. Okay. It's like 34 people. Like, so more people download this podcast and watch an episode of that. So anyway, what are your thoughts on Lop's lip sync? It was mediocre.
Mediocre at best.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to round five. The next two queens enter the competition are Jan's best friend, Rosé, and baby queen, Olivia Lux. After the judges' questions, the next two queens perform a lip sync to X's and O's by Elle King. Olivia Lux is the next winner, and Rosé confusedly walks off the main stage to join the other losers, at which point they all start to suspect that they won't all be permanently eliminated. Taylor the Latte Boy, your thoughts?
This is Olivia Lux.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that she's part of the show until they keep showing her. When we saw the Meet the Queens, we watched the Meet the Queens, and then you brought up Olivia Lux, and I'm like, oh yeah, she was there. And then I forgot that she was part of this season until she showed up in the pink and yellow dress. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think she's got a lot of great energy.
She does.
I liked both of the. I liked Rosé and I liked Olivia Lux. There is definitely an energy to her that I like, but it is that baby queen kind of. You kind of see her sort of in over her head a little bit, but this also I think gave her the confidence to move forward. You know, in the competition, whereas they were definitely not that she didn't win the lip sync, because I feel like she did do a better job then, and she was the only one that technically had a reveal. Out of everybody, because she dropped the skirt and then she had on the bodysuit. But I also feel like it was a way for them to fuck with Rosé, because Rosé is considered to be such a legend. Everybody seems to know who she is.
Yeah.
To fuck with her head a little bit, because she kind of walked in maybe thinking she was a little more confident. She has the Jantasy.
Yes.
And this was a way to screw with her a little bit. So yes. That especially what we see later on with the next competitor who wins. That there is already a rivalry there.
Yeah.
That they want to spread that out a little bit.
Yeah. I 100% agree. Rosé is the person I was talking about where I said there was nothing Rosé could have done that she was going to go in that winner's circle. You know, yeah. She was, because Carson tips his hand when he asks the producer written question, like, wait a minute, don't I recognize you? Weren't you in Jan? Like, oh, that's right. Carson Kressley can't even recognize the people who were in Queer Eye with him. And he's going to recognize right. That she was. Do you think he remembers the hot barber, whatever his name is, or Jay Rodriguez, or the, oh, Tom, the interior decorator? No one recognizes Tom. Sorry.
Tom doesn't recognize Tom.
Tom, I don't know Tom's last name. Oh, Kai. Do you think this Carson. Kai, yeah. Do you think Carson has talked to this Kai in 20 years?
No. God, has that been 20 years?
I don't know.
What no, am I it then? Hasn't been that long.
Look it up. Nami Harder. Let me see if Nami wrote to me 10 hours ago to tell me when Queer Eye for the Straight Guy premiered on Bravo. Anyway, all of a sudden, Carson Kressley knows that she's in Jan's singing group, right? And and so then he goes, oh, well, I hope you have a longer run than Jan, which I'm like, that's a weird shade towards Jan, right? But I mean, it was a premonition. I mean, there was no way Rosé was going to win. By the way, as a boy, Rosé looks so much like this Shane Dawson. You know who Shane Dawson is?
Oh, yeah.
He's that annoying YouTuber. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This Rosé is so taken with herself. Can't stand her, right? Because you know what? But I will be fair. I will be fair. It could be because she has associated herself with this Jan, right? And I don't like it. And so that she's now has the stank of Jan.
Oh, God. Yeah. What does that stank smell like?
Janky. So, okay. So I wanted Rosé to lose, and I was glad when she did, because I like this Olivia Lux. She's very charming. And I like the idea Rosé had hosted a competition and then.
Yeah. I mean, they were pretty much feeding her the fact that she was, you know, she was giving them the rope to hang her with.
Do you know the way to Jan Rosé? That's going to be the song, the next parody I write. Anyway. Everyone wait for that. Okay. Any other thoughts on Olivia Lux and Rosé?
I feel like Olivia Lux, this was her win. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long she's going to be around.
Yeah.
I feel like she may be an early go home.
By the way, one thing about, we haven't talked about this yet. When they come into this main stage at the beginning of the show, right? And she goes, "Oh my god, it's like a bank in here," and those like those plexiglass between them. Does anybody in their right mind think that's stopping the coronavirus?
I think they are trying to show they're trying to prove a point that they are showing so that it can't come back and bite them, as far as that they have them all sitting shoulder to shoulder, and I think that's probably why they're doing it. But I mean, it's okay. I also noticed, so I am assuming that they are not going to have guest judges this season.
No, they are.
Oh, they are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I didn't know if they were all in quarantine how that works.
They have some big ones coming.
Okay, because usually they announce that.
They did announce some of them.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then don't tell me who they are. I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Golda Meir.
Oh.
Michelle Obama. Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah. Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. By the way, two of the three dead, which is, I don't know why.
Benazir Bhutto.
Yeah, Benazir Bhutto is going to be there. And she's going to be, made up drag queen. Cause I don't want to say anyone's name because then they'll think I know something. Made up drag queen. You tried to impress Benazir, but instead you're getting the Bhutto. I'm sorry, my dear. Your time has come to an end. All right. The final three queens that enter the workroom are 39-year-old New York City costume comedy queen Tina Burner, Kamora, not Kimora, Hall, and Las Vegas entertainer Elliot with two T's. The final lip sync number of the night is to Lady Marmalade by Christina Aguilera, Pink, Lil Kim, and Maya. Tina Burner makes the judges laugh with her comedic take on the song and is the last queen to be sent to the winner's lounge. Taylor, your thoughts on this final lip sync?
This Tina Burner.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Really?
I don't like her at all. I don't like the energy at all. Mm-hmm. This is one that I remember being sort of like, I mean, you could see the comparisons to previous queens. Mm-hmm. A couple of which come to mind, which I know we try to not do that, but you definitely, I'm getting Mimi I'm first mm-hmm. from her. Mm-hmm. Just that I'm better than everybody else. I've got mm-hmm. the name. I have mm-hmm. all the different things. And mm-hmm. I am just where she's the shady queen. Mm-hmm. She's going to be the one that feels like she has to be shady. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a big fan of hers. Mm-hmm. Kamora, I didn't like her when she came in. Mm-hmm. I loved the music they played for her because it was very 1970s when she walked in that Bob Mackie dress. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the two of them are going to be the troublemakers.
Yeah.
Two of the troublemakers. Elliot with two T's. One, really cute as a boy. Like, she's kind of my favorite one as a boy. Mm-hmm. But and I liked her energy as much as we didn't necessarily. I didn't like her in Meet the Queens yeah. with the laughing at her own jokes and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was something about this one. And it might have been the outfit, the very structured 80s outfit that I liked. Mm-hmm. But I definitely liked her the best of the three. However, I think with the lip sync, though, I think Kamora won the lip sync.
Oh, interesting.
I was surprised that Tina Burner won. I'm going to do that the whole season. Mm-hmm. Just start to call her Tina Turner. Because she went to the easy jokes. I thought Tina Burner went with the easy jokes with a lot of the stuff with the, you know, like scratching her puss. And mm-hmm. she had a couple of other things that I'm like, okay, well, that's, you know, we're not even trying to be creative here. Mm-hmm. So not a fan.
Let me tell you, this Elliot with two T's. Bugs with two G's. All right. I was so annoyed with her the whole time.
Really?
Ugh. Ugh. Kamora Hall. What a snore fest. So boring.
Yeah.
Right. I found she mentions that I hated her. There was something about her I didn't like. And then she goes, she mentions that Soju is her drag daughter.
I didn't even pick up on that. Yeah, no, that means
no, that explains everything. This fucking Soju with her shit face at DragCon. And let me tell you, I talked to people who were with me at this drag con, right? Who I saw at drag con. Two people, one I didn't know then, I've since gotten to know.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't want to name who it is, but it's Jay Ellis. Have both confirmed what a horrible nightmare this Soju was, sitting in the corner all pouting, because I don't know, who knows why she's pouting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made sense that was her drag mother. Bugged me. She was so shady. And not, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. One of my favorite queens, and I know this is a controversial thing to say, I love this Gia Gunn. Love her. I think she's so good on the motherfucking show. Look at all she how little time she's on the show and has so many great quotes. I know you don't like Gia Gunn, right? I like me a shady bitch. Okay? She's shady and she's boring. The worst sin you could be is boring. Right?
And yes, she's that she doesn't have the bite that Gia has.
She's more like Blah Mora Hall. I'm going to call her for the run of the show, Blah Mora Hall.
Anyway, but you seem surprised that I did not like Tina Burner.
Because you know what? I expected to really hate her, and she does bug. Don't get me wrong, she bugs. This Tina Burner bugs. Okay. Did you know, by the way, I saw this on the, I don't know where I saw this, that she was like in a serious relationship with Graham Norton? She was like years ago?
No.
Yeah, she dated Graham Norton and moved in with him in England.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't believe she was in a boy band. I don't know what boy band it was that had her in it, right?
Yeah, I mean, how old is she?
I don't know.
Okay. So she's 39, so that would have been about 20 years ago. So she would have been like the boy band craze was like the late 90s, early 2000s.
But she's one really of her tall.
Yeah, she's kind of a beast of a queen.
When the boy bands, they sort of tried to emphasize their twinkiness, I feel. And then not that they wouldn't be like, not that they were all little, but like they wouldn't be like that tall usually in a boy band.
Yeah.
Maybe she was like Jack and the Beanstalks or something like that. I don't know. I don't know
she
what
was
boy
a
band.
Beanstalk.
Yeah.
So, but anyway. But they were a dime a dozen for a while, the boy band. So, but I mean, I couldn't help but notice she never named the boy band.
Never names the boy band. I'm sure we'll find out on Reddit. But she was, look, among the three, I thought she was the finest. I mean, I really don't know how much time she has on the show, which is strange because Rumor Mill Joe knows exactly how much time she had left on the show. But Joe Batem's on the show. I don't know how long she has on the show, but. Of the three, I guess she was. I mean, look, you're talking about this horrible Candy Muse being kept around because she makes good TV. I think Tina Burner is the same.
Oh, thing. I don't. I don't think so at all. I think.
Oh,
I
you
think
don't think
there
so?
Is. I feel like they could get more out of Candy Muse because the level of arrogance feels like we're trying really hard to kind of overcompensate. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like Tina Burner thinks she's the shit. Whereas I think Candy is trying to present that she thinks that she feels these are shit, but has her own stuff that, you know, so at some point the whole Tina Burner, we're not going to see that arc of humility with Tina Burner. I don't think that we could potentially see with Candy Muse.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Later in the winner's lounge, the safe queen's Kiki, while Candy Muse makes fun of Tina Burner's age and Tina Burner's surprised that Olivia Lux beat Rosé in their lip sync round. Finally, Rue announces to the queens in the pork shop loading dock that they will have to vote to decide who will be the first queen to be sent home. I don't, you know, but to be honest with you, I haven't checked that information. I wouldn't be surprised because RuPaul was careful in her wording. And I don't know that she was that specific about sending someone home. Was she? I have to go back and check. Nami Harder already wrote to me, but I haven't checked my email yet. But but it ends the episode on a cliffhanger. Taylor, any final thoughts on the episode?
I did not necessarily like that twist at the end.
Oh, I like the twist.
I think that if it, because you could see them all sort of doing the thing of like, we don't know each other. So we don't know what, you know, which I get that. And it also looks like from the little clip that I saw for the next week's episode that they're all going to like pick in front of one another.
Yeah,
they're all going to put a lipstick in the box at the same time. So I think it's trying to set up conflict between people that really have no conflict, you know, which I also get. That's the point of this show. Mm-hmm. But, give me a reason other than I voted for you. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you have the other group that already is everybody's already at a I can't think of the word, but you know, they're already at a disadvantage because they already feel like they're in the loser circle. And then to bring in that, well, you voted for me, you know, you voted to vote me off. I think that that's going to push some other people down even more. Mm-hmm. That I just don't like that from an emotional manipulation standpoint.
Well, let me say this. I feel like this phrase did not originate. It originated, I believe, on the show, but not on Believe With Me. Is that RuPaul's Drag Race is not a reality competition show. It's a reality show about a competition. Okay. And, or that it's a reality show posing as a competition. Okay. And so anytime I think RuPaul's Drag Race is at its best is when it brings in those reality show elements and keeps them on their toes. But that's just my thought. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. Time will only tell. But here's the thing, Taylor. You know, we were all dreading season 13, but now we don't know what's going to – usually we're like, oh, now I know what's going to happen next week, and then this – we don't know what's going to happen next week.
Oh, no. I mean, I can appreciate that on a level, but I felt, you know, on a much, 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 much – as a viewer, this was a roller coaster of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there wasn't a lot of storyline per se, but like I said, I feel like they're setting up some – they're already planting seeds for potential storylines for some of the contestants. So, but when she said that, when she came over the loudspeaker and said that, my thought was like, I can't imagine being in that room and then having to pick these girls that we've all been just commiserate. It's not like there was anybody was fighting at that point. There was just where they were just all sort of sitting together. And then that fast. Mm-hmm. Now we're pitting you against one another in a way. I could just see how I would feel in a situation like that. And I wouldn't like it.
Well, we'll have to end it right there, Taylor. We'll see what happens next week. That's going to do it for this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen. Be sure to join us next week and every week as Taylor the Latte Boy and I discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13. So for Taylor the Latte Boy and myself,
sashay away until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us over at Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. You can follow Taylor the Latte Boy on Instagram and Twitter at PIMC Taylor. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. That's JoeBetance. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.